Sanitations.
Greetings, Dr. Ted. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Oh, it's always fun visiting with you.
Man, and I love your high-def camera.
I have had this camera for God knows how long. This is a model they don't even make anymore.
Wow. Doctor, I appreciate you coming on the show. Man, there is so much to talk about. And but before we do, you know, I always ask the guests for all of our new viewers tonight, just to kind of introduce yourself, who you are, what you're about real quick.
Well, I'm Ted Noel. I am a retired anesthesiologist. I spent 36 years in the practice of medicine. I was trained in critical care medicine and for about 5 years combined my practice with intensive care. So I did both of those. Since then, I've had a lot of fun. I've played golf. I've written some books in theology, and I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 2016 election fight by Hillary's health problems. My brother and a good friend of mine who suffers from Parkinson's disease says, you got to look at this, you got to look at that. I'm going, oh yeah, forget it. Nah, nah, nah. And ultimately, it was too much to ignore. So at any rate, that was my 15 minutes of fame. And since then, I've continued to do a little commentary and so on. I have, I post as Dr. Ted in Facebook, MeWe, Parlay, and Twitter. So I have all of those, and I write frequently for NOQ Report.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does NOQ stand for?
News, opinions, and quotes.
All right. By the way, those joining us in the live chat, Southern Boy, Tony in Louisiana, Eagle Zap, and Joyce Blass all just joined us on the live chat. Well, Doctor, good to have you here. Yeah, we did talk last time about Hillary's Parkinson's disease, and I probably asked you, but I won't spend too much time on her, but I want to go back just a sec with her. Well, that's looking even better right there. Nice job.
Well, I just moved the camera around a little.
It looked good. And by the way, people said you got a great looking office.
Yeah, I have a face made for radio, but my office is nice.
Okay, so was Hillary hiding something underneath her tutu?
Well, it depends on when you were talking about it. There, in the last year or so, she's had a couple of episodes where she entered buildings wearing this heavy, heavy jacket, and there was a thing sticking up right here in the back, and it was pretty obviously a back brace. She never said boo about it, but there is a problem with Parkinson's disease that arises called camptocormia. And basically what it means is that you find yourself unable to hold yourself up straight and you slump over.
Hmm.
And you do it in a way, you know, where it's just like this. You can't do it. It's not like you've got scoliosis or severe kyphosis. Because if you lay down, you straighten out. And so when you're having episodes where this is a problem, there are all sorts of back braces that are recommended. And it looks like she was trying one.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of health conditions out there with our leaders, as far as I can see. I look across the political landscape, Dr. Ted, and I see Pelosi is always chewing on something. Nobody knows what it is. Joe Biden can't put a sentence together. I mean, there's a lot of creepy stuff going on. People need a doctor out there. I don't know why they're still in power. It seems like they go take care of their health conditions before they try to rule the country. But, man, we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, and that's, you can't get away from it because the whole world basically threw a switch. So let's just run right into this thing and start it off. What we got with the coronavirus?
Okay, coronavirus. First of all, we've had several coronaviruses. SARS, MERS, and the common cold are all coronaviruses. And the reason they're called that is when you look at them under an electron microscope, they look like a crown. It's just their physical shape. Each one has a slightly different manner of infecting people and how bad they are, how bad the infections are, and so on. This particular one, COVID-19, the fancy name is SARS-CoA 19, I think that's what it is. It's one of those crazy names. But the key is, it's the Wuhan flu. Now, I use that as a colloquial. It's not an influenza virus. That's a different family. But calling it the Wuhan flu gives it roughly the importance it actually has. Because as we've had more and more data, it's become exceedingly clear that this virus has been in the wild, and this is a technical term in epidemiology. In the wild means that it's out there, it's scattered widely, and any effort to contain it is doomed to fail because it's in too many places, too many people. And so there's always somebody else who can get exposed. I mean, we had a meatpacking plant up in the Dakotas, suddenly got an outbreak. Where the heck did that come from? We don't know of any connection to any other outbreak anywhere else. Right. It's just this thing's out in the wild, and we know, for example, from Japanese work that it's 18 times more likely for you to get infected inside a building than it is outside. Mm-hmm. And so somebody had an asymptomatic case, and they got close, and somebody else got the bug. They got a symptomatic case, they spread more, and that's what happened. And those kinds of pop-ups are going to happen no matter what you do, if it's in the wild. The whole idea of quarantine is for you to say, oh, we've got one person, you've got typhoid, we don't let you out of the house until you recover. And the people going in and out are, you know, they go through all of these careful things so that they don't spread, get it or spread it. So a quarantine works, and there has never been a quarantine of the general population until this year. This is the first time it's ever been tried, and it did not work. Guarantee you there is zero data that it made any difference in the spread of the disease. They will argue, oh, look, we flattened the curve. That's garbage, because we have plenty of data from South Korea, from Taiwan, from Sweden, from South Dakota, that you let business go on as usual. People are careful to cover their mouth when they cough. They stay in when they're sick, but otherwise go about their normal business, and you don't kill off the population. What happens is you have a place like New York, which is hugely indoors, massive tight population, and you get a lot of people sick. And so you have a hot spot like New York where the hospitals got overwhelmed. But that's only New York. And by the way, we now know that roughly 20% of all New Yorkers have had the bug. That's a huge number, and that means that the mortality of this bug is between 0.1 and 0.2% overall. Now, the next thing to know about this is which population dies. And this has been looked at by a number of people. We have the Italian experience. We have a fellow named Scott Atlas, who is a well-known epidemiologist, and in The Hill he wrote, the data is in, stop the panic, end the total isolation. He wrote that on 3 days ago, posted 3 days ago. And basically, he says, of all fatal cases in New York State, two-thirds were in patients over 70 years of age, two out of three. More than 95% were over 50 years. So here's the deal. If you're under age 50, forget it. You're not going to die. You might get sick. I mean, I've had the flu. I felt like I'd got run over by a truck for 2 or 3 days, fevers and sweats and chills and whatnot. I got over it. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you're under 50, the quarantine, the lockdown is garbage. And about 90% of all fatal cases, 9 out of 10, had an underlying illness. Let's look at the Italian data. The average age of the patients who died was 82 years old. The average life expectancy of an Italian is 82.7. without the bug.
Wow.
So what that means is that most of the people who died, and it was 85% of all people had multiple comorbidities in Obamacare speak, that's pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this, and most of these people were about to have their subscription run out anyway and not be renewed. So what happened? We changed the date on their death certificate, not the fact of it. That's all we did. And you look at it and you say, what's going on here? This is nuts. Going on with from the Hill, if you do not already have an underlying chronic condition, your chances of dying are small regardless of age. And then we had another one that looks at, this is from John Ioannidis at, I think he's at Stanford. I have to double check this, but he's from Yale. But here's the key. The COVID-19 death risk in people less than 65 years old during the period of fatalities from the epidemic was equivalent to the death risk. Big long sentence there. Your risk, if you're less than 65 years old, in New York, is equivalent to the death risk of driving 9 miles a day.
That's it.
You drive to a radio station. You don't expect to die.
No.
But that's the real honest risk. And in New York City, actually, it's the same as driving 450 miles. Well, I'm sorry, that's about like, you know, driving up to my daughter's place and back twice. I've done that dozens of times. So it's nuts. If you're looking at less than 65 and you don't have any of those pre-existing conditions, you count for 0.3% of the deaths in the Netherlands, 0.7% in Italy, and 1.8% of the deaths in New York City. That's it. It's nothing. And I guarantee you that when all of the numbers are counted up at the end of this year, we're going to see a number of flu deaths going down. Why? They died from COVID-19 before they could die from the flu.
Why are they counting everything? Doctor, it almost seems as if nobody's died of a heart attack or diabetes or stroke or anything now. There's people only dying from one thing. Is that what's happening?
No, that's what they want you to believe. You see, this is called never let a crisis go to waste. And if there isn't one, make one. And let's look at who Fauci is. Fauci is a left winger. People who worked with him at CDC knew him as a petty tyrant. He is a bureaucrat par excellence. So he knows how to talk the language and make people think that he's smart. Scarf Queen, Birx, is also a lefty. Both of them work on the side for the Gates Foundation. And we have a recent tweet from Bill Gates that it won't be safe to go back to work until we actually have a vaccine. Remember, vaccination is one of his big deals. So here we have this built-in bias to, no, you can't go back to work. You forget about all the people who are dying of suicide, all of the cancers that aren't being picked up. Let's go back to 2008. Remember what happened to the stock market in 2008?
Yeah, it went down.
It took a dump. We had a miniature recession. Worldwide, that miniature recession caused 500,000 excess cancer deaths. Okay, because people without money don't get care to sort things out. I'll give a simple example. Let's suppose a lady thinks she might have a lump in her breast. She's due for a mammogram. Well, right now you can't do anything elective, and mammograms are elective. It's not an emergency. So you wait. And you wait and you wait. And by the time they finally open up, that lump is real and it has spread. Your chance of surviving just went down. So this is the kind of thing we're looking at. These people have blinders on. All they can see is COVID-19, 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 and they forget about all of the massive harm they're causing everywhere else.
All right, let's get to a couple questions that have been coming in. This is from Jade, our moderator, actually. Is there any negative side effect of using too much hand sanitizer?
Yeah, you can probably make your hands raw. if you spend too much on hand sanitizer, you won't have enough money for your Corona beer.
Okay. Wow, I didn't look at it that way. I'll have to take that consideration.
Basically, hand sanitizer is pretty benign.
Okay. All right, then let's get this.
I got my little bottle here. It level hasn't changed in weeks. I washed my hands.
Okay. They've got this question here. Reports said a surgeon in North Korea was not used to working on an obese patient. What is that? That's got to be redone. But I tell you what, though, let me get the question. I mentioned in my rant, I was talking about Biden's mental health. There's a raging battle going on, doctor, between people that say Trump's insane and people say Joe Biden's insane or dementia. In either case, is one ahead of the other?
Okay. Donald Trump is fully in command of his faculties. When he does things like tweak them about the Clorox, he's being a typical street guy from Queens. That's just the style of people from that part of the country. And people have gone absolutely ballistic. I have a good friend I worked with 3 years, a cardiac surgeon, who says now he's a total idiot. You know, he's insane. You know, and what you have on the left are a massive number of people who cannot handle the fact that he's actually achieving anything good. Right. It's not their guy. They were totally invested in Hillary, and he is not Hillary. And if you go back and look, they wanted to impeach Reagan. They wanted to impeach Bush Sr. They wanted to impeach Bush Jr. I mean, the last Republican president they did not try to impeach was Eisenhower. So this is where they've gone. Mm-hmm. They have the Trump derangement syndrome is truly real. And these people are this is a psychosis, and I'm using it in the technical sense. A psychosis is a major defect in reality testing. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely unable to see the facts. You can play the Charlottesville tape for them, and they still think that Trump is calling out the KKK as good people. You know, even when you play the tape and it's clear he is mm-hmm. condemning racism, mm-hmm. they can't hear it. And this is just where they are. Now, on the other side, if anybody wants to look, go to my Facebook page, just search Dr. Ted. I have a sticky post on the top, which is a minute and a half video on Joe Biden. I'd had a bunch of people said, do a piece on Joe Biden's mental decline. I'm going, please, it's so obvious. Why do you need me to say anything? And then Trump's campaign people did it better than I could possibly do. It is a brilliant video, and it's only a minute and a half long. Mm. But it shows everything beautifully. Mm-hmm. And while we're on other people like that, Pelosi, I have the advantage of having a resource person who unfortunately must remain unnamed, who is a neuropsychiatrist.
Okay.
He specializes in all sorts of movement disorders. Nancy Pelosi has two things going on. She has dyskinesia tardive.
Whoa.
And I did a piece on my YouTube channel about it. It's a side effect of medications. And because of the wide range of medicines that can cause it, you can't really draw any conclusions about which one it was. but it causes these movement disorders and whatnot. And so she gets Botox
Do that
injections
again.
to.
Do that again. Yeah, that's what she does right there.
But those movements are movements you can't control. And so in order to avoid them, she periodically gets Botox injections, which gives her that mask-like face where she's talking. And, you know, when you and I talk, you see wrinkles appear here, you see them go away, you see things happen here. Yeah. You see the obvious changes in her face. With her, it's a mask. And that's because she has the Botox injections. And remember, Botox works by poisoning muscles. That's
Oh.
how it works. So the muscles that would create the smile wrinkles here or the frown lines up here, those muscles can't work. So that's the first thing she's got going on is dyskinesia tardive.
Okay.
The second thing she's got going is a mixed pattern dementia, which is getting worse and worse. And
Hmm.
I've done two videos on my YouTube channel about Nancy Pelosi's medical problems. We get more and more examples of it, but I don't see any reason we need to go further on it. You know, her mixed pattern includes elements that look like Alzheimer's, where she is forgetful of who's who. She calls names out wrong and so on. She just completely loses it. She'll ramble on. She acts like she's had what are called lacunar infarcts, where you have little tiny mini strokes, little tiny spots in the brain get wiped out. And you can see them on an MR scan. They look like a little scar. And depending on where they are, you get different signs. But she has the mixed pattern dementia. And you have to wonder if that was part of why she allowed the impeachment to go forward. Because, yes, she had people screaming for it, but she had people screaming for it for W. She had people screaming for it for Bush 41. She, you know, on and on and on. And she had shut them down. So maybe she's getting where her judgment and her force of will are going.
Dr. Ted, what the hell is she chewing on all the time?
That's part of her dyskinesia tardive. It's the involuntary motions in her face that she can't really control.
And she don't seem like she has a lot of control on nothing.
Well, and that involves her speech. She gets what's called dysarthric speech. You and I might say we got our tongue twisted around our eye teeth and couldn't see what we were saying. But she has trouble forming words from time to time. That's the dysarthria that comes from dyskinesia tardive. So, I mean, if people want to really see what's going on, have her look at my two videos on Nancy Pelosi's health. I have a big section where I've clipped other videos of people with dyskinesia tardive where they can see the really dramatic forms of it.
Wow. Well, she definitely has some kind of dramatic form of something. I'm going to jump out of the picture and we can talk about something. You talk about, Trump derangement syndrome is what they call it, where people, they don't even know why. They react with such vitriol, such hatred, no matter what he says, how he says it. If something, it doesn't line up just ever slightly, it's impeachable offense. Now, he did one this week. I'm setting this up for this picture that's coming up. Let me go ahead and get out of the picture here, and then we can talk about what's coming up here in a second. And I will get out of the picture too. Now, Trump said, people are claiming that he said drink Lysol. So I went to the internet to see, and by golly, you can buy a Lysol inhaler, doctor, right there. Can you see that? And I guess this is what Trump was talking about. Is that what he
Well,
was?
he was just flat out being sarcastic, and he was pulling their chain.
Okay. I was looking on
Scott
Amazon, and I
Adams,
couldn't find it.
you know, the guy who did Dilbert, he wrote Win Bigly. He uses Trump as an example of persuasion techniques, and he says that Trump is one of the five most talented persuaders on the face of the earth. And basically, what Trump is doing with these things is he's dangling a shiny object in front of the cat. So they'll bat at that while he's busy doing real work, getting real things done. I mean,
He more like using a laser pointer. I think
yeah,
rare.
but the point is, he's working on multiple levels all at once.
Mm-hmm.
He was working on the Wuhan flu while they were impeaching him.
Yeah.
He was working on that.
You know, you can do it. You can do it. There are time stamps of when who said what. For instance, when Nancy Pelosi said, everybody come out to Chinatown. It's great. It's a great, awesome place. Just as this, at this thing started, you can do a timestamp play of these things. But a person that is not being Trump, not being Hillary, they don't care. No fact. There is no fact, time frame, nothing that makes any difference in their mind. Trump is the cause of the whole world's being shut down, and everybody who died of it is Trump's fault. They can't even make a reasonable statement on anything. Doctor, now when did this pathology hit? Were they always that way? Say in the Bush years, they were okay with Obama, or did through the country, did something shift? Did something get in the water, in the air? What happened to these people?
Go back to Reagan and think about the things they said about Ronald Reagan.
They said keep him away from the button.
Yeah, they were all wound up on that. They thought he was insane. Now, we do know that after he left office, he developed signs of Alzheimer's and ultimately went downhill with it. But while he was in office, he was very sane, very cool, very calm. I mean, in style, he was the exact opposite of Trump. But they were deranged about that. What you have is a group of people whose religion is government. And anything that threatens their power or their place in the seat of power is a threat to them. Mm-hmm. I did a piece, oh good heavens, it's got to be a year and a half ago, on YouTube about can you talk with your neighborhood liberal? And the basic idea there was, no, you can't really. And the only thing you can do is occasionally get a one-liner in, which contains a kernel of truth that they cannot avoid. For example, oh, you're giving all this money to the rich people. You're giving a tax breaks for the rich. And the comeback isn't directly on that line, but is, you know, you need to give it to the poor people. Poor people need jobs. They go, when's the last time a poor person gave you a job?
Mm.
The point is, you got to have a rich guy to give you the job, or you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Well, I remember when Trump first got in office and he gave that tax cut to the corporations, and I never, nobody's seen anything like it. You think he got a little credit, but these companies turned around and started mailing out $1,000 checks. They raised people's wages. They raised the benefits. And to this day, they still say Trump's gives to the rich. And then Pelosi said, and AOC said, that regular people didn't get a tax cut. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I did get a tax cut because I watched my paycheck and I know I got a tax cut. But then when they were caught, well, maybe people really did. Then they go, oh, well, it was just crumbs, you know. So they, no matter what he does or how he says it, mm-hmm. it's this instantaneous overreaction.
And they're completely uninterested in the fact that the tax cut he gave corporations had to be on earnings from the other part of the world. The United States was the only country that taxed companies on money they made overseas and then brought back to the U.S. That money is already taxed in Germany or France or England or Ireland or wherever else. But if you bring it back to the U.S. to make it work, we tax it again. And so, you know, Apple had $20 billion, if memory serves, in Ireland that they couldn't do anything with because they'd have to pay so much tax bringing it in. It wasn't worth it. Keep the business over there. And that was the big thing that the businesses got was, we're not going to tax you so much so you can bring all that money back and hire people. It wasn't a tax cut for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let's make things more normal across the entire world.
Mm. All right, let's get to a couple more questions that have been flying in here. Let's get to the top of the line here. It says, Doctor, I think they are exaggerating the numbers of people who have the coronavirus. What do you think?
Actually, they're undercounting it.
Okay.
Okay. They are overcounting the deaths from from coronavirus. And the comment I made in my most recent post over at NOQ was, if your ex-wife's second cousin had coronavirus when you died, you're listed as a coronavirus death. And the reason for it is really simple. Hospitals get paid more for attending to coronavirus patients.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a financial incentive. It's called upcoding. It's something hospitals have made an art form of over the last couple of decades. I mean, we saw it constantly in our, I have a hospital-based, or had a hospital-based practice. Mm-hmm. And so we saw this constantly going on. They'd figure out a way to charge for the higher one. And I golf with a cardiologist. And Ralph would tell me, they'd come around and say, you need to code this one at that, this higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, why? That's not what the patient has. Well, you need to code it like that. The answer was they get paid more. Well, they've made an art form of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the audits aren't very good to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. There's a lot of things in the news about people getting caught gouging. There's a couple of brothers in Tennessee or Kentucky. Immediately when this thing started hitting, they started buying hand sanitizer. So they got them for price gouging. But when I go to the hospital, I get charged $30 for an aspirin. Well, who's gouging here?
Well, okay, that's a whole different issue there. There's two issues in that point. Hospitals are subsidized, and the law of subsidy says that when you subsidize something, you get more of it, mm-hmm. and it gets more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see the little scar on my forearm here. I was 10 years old and did one of these numbers over the handlebars of a bicycle on a gravel road. I had a new joint right here with bones sticking up over here.
Ooh, thanks for that.
And we went to the hospital. It cost my parents $100.
Hmm.
This was in 1963. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You do that now, it's going to cost $100,000.
Hmm.
Why? Insurance.
Hmm. All right, let's get to this. Insurance
is not the same as healthcare. Insurance has one effect in medicine. It raises the price of care by 30 to 40%.
Hmm. All
right. That's all it does.
All right, this question is from Anita. Does 5G play any part in this virus?
Unlikely.
All right. From Peter from Australia, do you think that once the vaccine is developed, they will try to make it mandatory?
I can see that happening. One of the things that happened with flu vaccines was the hospital said, if you want to work in the hospital, you will get flu shot.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Have you taken it? Will you take it?
I've had flu shots.
Okay. Will you take a vaccine?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm 67 now, so I'm in the age group where things would happen. I don't have any notable comorbidities. And I'm actually taking a blood pressure medicine that appears to help reduce the problems from it.
Wow. Okay, I was listening to somebody on the radio or a YouTube video. It was another doctor. He said, I'm going to shoot some of the bitches if they try to give it to me. So it's interesting. All right, here we go. Put Yahweh first. What are the first symptoms of the old virus?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not in clinical practice, and I was never on that end of things. The ones that get people into the hospital are shortness of breath, but they're actually looking at a different sign as possible getting you more. Oh, headache. Hang on. There were three. Shortness of breath, headache, and what's something called anosmia. You lose your sense of smell.
Oh.
Okay. Those are... hey, I probably got something going on. Let's get it checked out. The shortness of breath is really bizarre in COVID-19. I remember having a pneumococcal pneumonia years ago. And I came into the emergency room and my oxygen saturation was 84 or 85%. Nothing felt so good as that little cannula of oxygen under my nose. It was night and day difference. My O2 sat went up in the high 90s. It was dramatic. People with COVID-19 can have an O2 sat of 85%. which is where I was with pneumococcus. And I was in desperate straits. And they don't even notice it. We don't know why that is. But the new screening thing is actually this little clip. You've seen them. They're probably about this big. A little clothespin thing fits on your finger. And it reads out a number for your oxygen level. And they're now starting to say that's a pretty good screening gadget. So it certainly is non-invasive. It takes a few seconds to give you an answer.
Okay.
And the technology's out there.
Well, doctor, it's all about the mask right now. Big mask debate out there. I got a question. So I wore a mask one day, and I was interfacing with somebody out there. They had a mask, but I could smell their breath, man. It was nasty. Okay, I don't know what they eat. You know what kind of crap was going on there. So I'm thinking, I'm thinking, man, look, if I can smell your stank of your breath, are those smaller than the virus? Would that mean that if they had the virus, I would get it if you could smell their stank?
Okay. This is all about how is it transmitted. The virus is transmitted by aerosols. Every time you breathe out aerosols. Those aerosols will have, if you have the virus, will have some virus in them. They will also have bacteria from your mouth and your upper airway, because you have a huge amount of bacteria in your mouth. You're not sick because you got a whole bunch of varieties always fighting with each other. But you're breathing out these aerosols. And the easiest way for people to imagine it is, think about when you went outside on a really cold day. Mm-hmm. And you breathed out and you had this little white cloud. Mm-hmm. And then in 3 or 4 seconds, it dissipated. Mm-hmm. That's an aerosol. If it was windy and you tried to do that, you never saw the cloud. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's why people indoors get infected 18 times as easily as outdoors. Because indoors, the air movement is small. Outdoors, the air movement is huge. It mm-hmm. dissipates now. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about outdoors in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the key there is the aerosol is always there. Now, what good does it do to wear a mask? There are three kinds of masks we see. Now, I spent 36 years wearing a surgical mask all day. I was specially fitted for the N95 masks toward the end of my practice, because the deal was, if we're dealing with certain sick patients, you have to have an N95. Now, N95 means it filters out 95% of all of the aerosols and particles. Mm-hmm. That's where the name comes from. Then you look at the fabric one. That bandana is worthless. The surgical mask is worthless. The reason that I wore a surgical mask wasn't to protect me. Mm-hmm. It was to protect the patient's surgical incision from getting the bacteria from my breath. Because it would hit here and go sideways and it wouldn't blow into the wound.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I could smell their stanky breath through a mask, can imagine what they're smelling. But so
well, you're smelling gaseous materials that are worse. But the whole point is that the aerosol carries that. And, you know, yes, you may diffuse the aerosol somewhat, but if you're indoors, it makes no difference whatever.
Mm. Okay.
You know, the only mask that matters. And so the people who need to wear masks are the people who are already sick and trying to prevent other people from getting it, and they just have to go somewhere. Mm. And the people who are elbow deep in taking care of these people, and then they should be wearing the N95 masks, because the N95 app is an honest filter. Those others are pure garbage.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to a couple more questions. Paul Shishi says, does vitamin C work?
Depends on what you're using it for. Does it prevent COVID-19? I have no idea. I haven't seen any data.
Okay. By the way, somebody said that chlorine can come in tablets. We were talking about the Lysol thing earlier.
That's called halozone. It's used for purifying water.
Okay. Kevin asked this question. Said, Doctor, isn't it interesting the first three countries with a rash of COVID, they were all epicenters, all seem to have 5G. I think we addressed that. Next question here. What is your opinion of, well, we've kind of addressed this, your opinion of Biden's cognitive state? Is he going to make it to his convention?
He seems to be going downhill rather quickly. And this leads to 1,000 speculations. First, I don't think we're going to have a physical convention. And we've actually gotten to a point where the point of a convention is kind of nothing. It's most people are going to watch one keynote speaker and the acceptance speeches, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the problems that they're raising with this, we really don't need to spend all that money. Why do I travel to some faraway city, buy overpriced meals in an overpriced hotel and spend time there doing something that's already preordained? People are thinking like that. But for Biden, it's an open question whether he will make it. But here's something I can guarantee. If he does make it to debate stages with Donald Trump, he is going to look like a total flop and failure. He won't be able to hold anything together. And it will be so obvious that even a pot full of Democrats are going to go, this guy doesn't have it. Whereas Trump has absolute command of an army of facts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at it, look at any of his briefings. He just reels off fact after fact after fact. When he goes and talks extemporaneously at the rallies before we got shut down, or, when he goes off script on a speech someplace, he has command of everything.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to use a teleprompter much. Here's another more questions coming in. How do you identify the strain of the virus? Because obviously there are different strains.
That's done with something called PCR. It's polymerase chain reaction. It's a special technique where you actually take the swab, you put it in a culture medium where it replicates, and then you're able to, there's an enzyme that allows it. This is a polymerase, they call it, and you build up more and more and more until you get to a point where you can test it against something. Now, Abbott seems to have come up with a test that looks the same way at things, and frankly, they've done chemical wizardry. That's the best way I can describe some of this stuff.
Now, have you taken the test?
No reason to.
Okay, so from what I can tell, Doctor, maybe you can help me out. I've been trying to figure this thing out for weeks. Okay, so this swab thing is about this long, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, my nose is maybe this long. So where the hell does this other piece going up in there, man? I mean, is it going to back in my brain? Where is this thing going?
Have you ever seen a magician take a long spike and drive it into his nose? It's real.
I don't know where the thing's going.
No. No, it's going into his posterior pharynx. If you follow the airspace from the tip of your nose to the back here, you actually have a space that's about that long. It literally is on an almost a straight line from your external nares all the way back above the palate toward the posterior pharyngeal wall. That's, what is that, 6 inches, 7 inches, something like that?
There's brain up in there somewhere, Doc. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
No. The brain is up there. You're going below it.
Oh, going below the brain. Okay. I feel
better. Yeah, if you think about it, in the nose, at the top of the nose, your smeller is at what's called the cribriform plate. Mm-hmm. That's up here in your nose. You breathe straight back here.
Yeah.
And so whatever you breathe in goes by it, and then the volatiles give you the smells.
Somehow I'm not comforted by those words. So, question, do ventilators help or hurt?
Ventilators are, it's not a simple question. Ventilators can be managed in a whole raft of different ways. They have rate, tidal volume, positive end expiratory pressure, negative pressure release, pressure hold, inspiratory holds, expiratory holds, inspired oxygen changes, humidification, helium admixture. You begin to see the whole list of things that can be adjusted up and down. Okay? A ventilator is a tool. It is a very complicated tool, and it can help. We know that there are people who were dying who were on a ventilator and got better. But somewhere around 90% of COVID-19 patients who get on a ventilator die. It's a marker of how sick they are. The ventilator didn't kill them. It's just they were that sick. We put them on the ventilator to try, but it wasn't successful.
What was your term in the first hour? Did you say their subscription was almost up anyway?
Yes. Oh, you like that line, huh?
Wow. Yeah, that's stuck in the old brain. Wherever that poker goes is where it went.
Go to NOQ Report and read my piece, The Old Man's Friend.
Okay. Raul says, why are doctors making... it is kind of funny. Why are doctors making videos of dancing if they're busy fighting the coronavirus? I mean, there's a lot of videos of doctors out there dancing. I mean, I'm thinking, dude, they're not even social distancing. What's going on? Are they going delirious?
Remember how many doctors are swamped. Mm-hmm. New York City. Mm-hmm. Hospitals everywhere else are going broke because they're empty. Doctors aren't working. I told you the cardiologist I play golf with. Mm-hmm. Normally, we would play golf on Thursday afternoon because he has a half day in the office. He loves to play golf. He'll call me at noon, 1 o'clock, let's go. Mm-hmm. And because I'm retarded, we can go. But now he'll call me on Tuesday. Are you free to go play? Mm-hmm. He has a minimal load of patients. And everybody in the business is suffering with this. And what that says is we have chopped off 95% of all of the people who need care. I mean, Obamacare was sold. These people can't get care. Guess what? The lockdown made it so they can't get care.
Mm. Just recently, the mayor or the governor of New York was talking about they issued a non-resuscitation order. And they were called on it. But that sounds remarkably like the death squads, death panels that Sarah Palin initially talked about in the very beginning of Obamacare debate.
Yeah. For him to do that, he's trying to practice medicine. He's an idiot for trying it.
Doesn't that violate the Hippocratic Oath?
Well, yeah. I was on the committee at my hospital where we wrote what's called the futility of care policy. And the basic idea is when you find a patient who is so sick that the chance of them recovering to any meaningful existence is basically zero, you say they've reached a point where all further care is futile. At that point, what we did was we said you get a second opinion, and then you take the committee to look at it, and then you go to the family and say, look, we need to stop. We put all of those safeguards in. When he just says, no, we need to cut this off, what he's saying is, I'm going to do triage. No, you're not. You're not qualified. And most of the people said, up yours, or some variation of that.
Hmm. All right. Let's get another question. It says, doctor, which blood pressure medication do you take?
I take an angiotensin receptor blocker. If you look at any of the drugs, forget the trade names. Go to the generic name. If it ends in ARTAN, that's an angiotensin receptor blocker. I'm taking a very small dose, but those appear to have some protective effect because the angiotensin 2 receptor is necessary for the virus to enter the cell. And by taking a blocker, you're already occupying the receptor, reducing the number of access points. Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen two papers. One said it didn't make any difference, or actually one said we don't have enough data. And I saw another one which said the data is highly suggestive. I mean, we're at a point where we don't have definitive data on a lot of things.
Is the lockdown delaying the herd immunity?
Yes, it is. No question. But the herd immunity is coming in spite of the lockdown. We have studies. 2 months ago, we had a study out of South Korea that showed we had seven times as many people asymptomatic infected as we had symptomatic infected. Okay? That's herd immunity developing. We have two studies out of California, one out of Stanford and one out of UCLA, that say we've got huge numbers of people. And the one out of Stanford suggested that we had as much as 80 times more people infected than we thought we did. And that's just simply they were infected, they never got sick. And now in New York, out of Columbia, we have another piece, and Governor Cuomo pointed out that between 15 and 20% of all New Yorkers have been infected, and virtually all of them have recovered without anybody ever knowing they were sick.
Doctor, when all this is over, is anybody ever going to say, I want to go to New York for vacation?
Yeah, they will. It'll take a while. Any of these things, I mean, I suspect after the Las Vegas shooting for a while, people were kind of not wanting to go there. But now that's worn off.
Okay.
People have short memories.
Okay. Question says, the doctor, can an unvaccinated person infect a vaccinated person?
Okay. That has to do with the question of how good is the immunity from the virus. And that's uncertain at this point. We have a handful of cases of people who got sick, recovered, and got sick again. So, yeah, I mean, but it's just a handful. It's, you know, like maybe a dozen or so. So it's a very small number. But that suggests that the immunity from this bug is not as good as we'd like. For example, if I get a flu shot for the strains that I'm being immunized for, you know, my immunity is pretty good. It's like 80%. We don't know on this one yet. And we may never get a vaccine. Remember, we don't have a vaccine for HIV.
Now, you were an anesthesiologist?
That is correct.
Did you ever see somebody die on the operating table?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because this question here is interesting. It's not really related to the topic at hand, but it's an interesting question nevertheless. It says, do you recall any instance where a patient died on the operating table only to have someone around them revive them, and then they speak of visiting another realm?
No.
Okay. Did you ever revive somebody? Did you ever see somebody revive when they were dead, clinically dead?
Oh, well, see, the problem you have is defining clinically dead. And we would take people and work on them in great lengths. The heart room was the classic place where we did it. They wouldn't come off. They'd fail coming off pump. We'd put them back on pump, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And ultimately, either they got off pump, we might put an intra-aortic balloon in, we had a bunch of drips to work on their blood pressure and so on, and we get them to the unit, or ultimately you say, can't be done.
Okay. Can a nanoparticle be inserted in a cure for nefarious reasons?
I am inferring from the question that you would be modifying a virus or a vaccine in such a way as to create something new. In theory, I suppose it's possible. As a practical matter, why would anybody bother?
So many ways to kill people. So why? All right.
Stupidity works real well.
Put Yahweh first says, why is Joe Biden so angry all the time? Is that part of his dementia?
Yep. Watch that video on my Facebook page.
I mean, here's a guy that challenged somebody doing push-ups. Something's wrong with that man's brain.
It's abnormal aggressiveness. Think about all the times Donald Trump has been challenged, and he just shuts them down. You're fake news. done. Go on to somebody else. You never see him getting angry.
It is unbelievable. And I love when he points, you are fake news.
Yes.
Smithfield. I believe they're the largest pork producer in America. They were bought by the Chinese. Their plants are being shut down right and left. Massive infections in their employees.
I only knew about one Smithfield one up in the Dakotas, and that was 6% of the pork for the U.S.
So, let's see. China, virus, company that China owns, company that China officials probably come over to visit, Wuhan virus in China.
Okay, if you're going to go nefarious, you don't have to play that game.
Oh.
There's a different way to go.
Okay.
And this is clear fact. We know that the Chinese have lied to us about how they managed the outbreak. Just flat out lied. And they claimed that they locked Wuhan down. But the fact is, 5 million people, not 5,000, 5 million people were permitted to leave Wuhan for distant parts all over the world after the virus was a problem. And after the supposed lockdown. Now, how many of those were carrying the bug? And was it Chinese? I would bet that what they did was they saw, this virus release may have been an accident. But they start to see what's going on. And then they war gamed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Weaponized it.
No, they war gamed what would happen if. And they walked through the scenarios and they decided to let it go. We're going to get clobbered. Let them go to get clobbered too. And so they infected the entire world. There was a study in Lancet that showed that 95% of the worldwide deaths from COVID-19 would have been avoided if they had properly locked down Wuhan. And you see, that's a proper quarantine because you are closing off where the infection is known to be. Well, that person with diphtheria, you don't let them out of the house till they recover. You close off where the infection is.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, there, I was of a mind to trade California for our debt to China, but now I feel like they owe us. They need this. They're not getting nothing for what they did. All right, here's a question for you. It says, is the test really only an identification for genetic material found in people who have the COVID-19?
Okay. The basic idea of the tests are twofold. One is, are you carrying the virus? Okay. Do you have detectable virus? And those tests are pretty reasonable. They have somewhere in the order of 5 to 15% false negative rates. Okay. That means that they miss.
Right.
Yeah, but they're pretty decent tests. But they're, like I said, there's a bunch of different ones. So you're looking for, is the virus here now? The other test is the antibody test. And what happens is when you get sick with a bug, it can be pneumococcus, it can be the virus, Wuhan flu, doesn't matter. Your body is invaded by a foreign invader. Okay? That foreign invader is recognized by your body as being foreign. And the immune response creates proteins called antibodies. And, we study the structure of them, the long and short arms and so on them. And basically what the antibody does is it is coded in such a way that when a virus particle comes, the antibody perfectly matches the surface of it. And so you have this part that comes in and clamps on there. And the part over here that sticks out signals the white cell, I got a bad guy. So the white cell comes and gobbles him up.
Wow.
That's called phagocytosis.
How do these things know to do that?
That's a very big, complicated question. And nobody has a good answer for it. But the point is, the antibody test says you had the infection and you made the antibodies so you would have them should you be exposed again. It'll protect you against a second time around.
Mm.
That's how they work.
Mm. All right. Roxy says, Doctor, are you an organ donor?
I have an organ donor card, yes.
Well, I tell you what, in China, you donate your organs while you're still alive, so I don't know. Question, how many Americans got the flu last year and how many died?
I don't remember the total incidents, but in 2018, we had 61,000 people die from the flu. I will almost guarantee you that when all the numbers are tallied up this year, whatever number we have that's COVID-19, some portion of that is going to take away from the flu number and shrink it because people died of COVID-19 before they were able to die of flu.
Yeah, they're skewed. In fact, didn't the state just take 200 or 300 off of their total for some reason? It's like, wait a minute, man, you're screwing with the numbers. This is interesting. My son, this is a question from Glasses. My son is a respiratory therapist. He told me Viagra, used in combination with something else, is working on COVID-19. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't heard about that one, but nothing surprises me.
Okay. I think we'll just leave that one right there. So this question says, you may have addressed this already, is COVID-19 then the virus is too small for the mask to work? Is that what it is?
Well, no. The key is, what is a mask good for? If you are working elbow deep in an infectious disease ward or ICU, you need an N95 mask, which seals around here, okay? And it will filter out 95% of the particles. By the way, those can be re-sterilized with UV light.
Mm. Now, isn't
it
that
90 seconds?
Now, didn't Trump suggest that, and he was ridiculed, say, for some either sunlight or UV light? And I think, isn't that in place somewhere in the world where people are getting doused with UV light?
Well, there is a product called Healight, H-E-A-L-I-G-H-T, which is being tried. And essentially what they do when you have somebody who is on the ventilator, they've got a tube down their trachea, they will slide a little tiny, basically it's a catheter, it's a very small one, they'll slide down inside the tube, down into the bronchial tree, and it has LEDs on it that are UV.
Wow.
And it's helping to kill. We know that ultraviolet light, solar radiation, will sterilize any surface outdoors in 90 seconds.
So what Trump said about the light was that the mass media had no idea what they were even talking about, but Trump knew about it.
He is 100% right. The Chinese are using UV to sterilize their buses, and it works. Mm. Now, you're familiar with UVB, which is a band of wavelengths that gives you sunburn and skin cancer. From the sun at the surface of the earth, you get UVA and UVB. There is a much shorter wavelength called UVC, which doesn't penetrate the atmosphere, but which is extremely effective against viruses and bacteria and kill them both. Mm-hmm. And the fun part about UVC is it won't affect your eyes. You know, UVB will give you cataracts over time.
Mm.
It won't affect your eyes. It doesn't penetrate the outer layer of your skin, so it won't tan you, won't burn you, no skin cancer, no effects from that, but it will kill every virus in less than 2 minutes.
Mm.
And so if you were to have a restaurant and you just put some of these lights around, it's nearly invisible.
Wow.
Because of the wavelength. Mm-hmm. You just have these on and the place is clean.
Hmm. That brings us to the question of hydroxychloroquine. Is that good or bad?
Studies are still outstanding on it. We have a fairly large volume of evidence that at least in some populations it works well. All of the side effect stuff is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they talk about cardiac rhythms, and the FDA had to stick its neck out and say, you have to be careful about these things. A bunch of idiots. All of the side effects occur in prolonged usage. Mm-hmm. The 1 week regimen that we're talking about with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc Well, nobody's going to get those.
This is where Trump derangement syndrome can cost people's lives. That wretched Gretchen, I call her wretched Gretchen, in the governor of Michigan, when Trump first mentioned hydroxychloroquine, she went berserk and banned it and threatened every doctor in the state to bring them up on charges and fine them.
Again, she's trying to practice medicine. It's outside the scope of practice. She would have lost the lawsuit.
But she outlawed
mowing the lawn.
Well, she looks like a horse face for one thing. That's another story. But she had that reaction that says, if Trump says this, it's wrong no matter what. He's exactly. Evil man. And so no matter what study comes out, if that ever comes out that it's good, and I know there's studies going on right now, they won't accept him, will they? Because Trump said it first.
That's right. And like I said, it may prove that in a particular group of patients it works really well. In some other group it won't work at all. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how you put your population together. And as we get more and more studies, we'll learn what's good, what's not.
Now, to get a little bit political with the virus, because, I mean, it has obviously got political. Trump's causing people to die, whatnot. Nancy Pelosi playing games with people's businesses and stuff. But doesn't it seem that the shutdown of America is a dream come true for the Green Deal people?
For the left, it's a Green New Deal because it puts all the power in D.C.,
Doesn't it, though, work in their favor? And wouldn't that mean that they would sort of suppress the economy and keep this thing going because of their self-interest?
Well, yeah. See, this is a personal power issue. The Latin term is quo bene, who benefits? The people who want power, Fauci and Birx, are both power hungry. And every day they're up there with Trump, so they are getting the FaceTime. We are powerful. We told him what to do. You know, that's intoxicating. Mm-hmm. And remember that power is the most intoxicating thing you can have. And so these people who have government as their religion, power as their aphrodisiac, mm-hmm. Cannot lose. As long as this lockdown goes and everybody depends on the government, they cannot see the harm they're causing. Mm. They're blind.
Trump did disagree directly with Dr. Fauci. I mean, in one of his press conferences earlier, and I'm just wondering. So is Dr. Birx going to come out with a line of scarves?
Scarf queen.
But let me go a little further. I noticed that Nancy Pelosi now all of a sudden is wearing a scarf, but she's wearing it around her neck. I'm thinking she just, because she's so gross looking, can't she just cover her face?
Oh, wait, no, Pelosi's I didn't see. No, who was it? Was it Gretchen Carlson? No, it was one of the Fox anchors in the evening was wearing a broad choker the other night. But Pelosi, I don't worry about her.
Okay, This is crazy question, doctor. I guess we haven't had enough crazy questions. Through your years of practice, have you seen any credible information on human cloning?
No. We've had, you had Dolly the sheep. The problem with cloning seems to be that you have a degradation and premature aging and so on that comes along. And human cloning, of course, is banned by every ethical canon. Mm-hmm. So it's really unlikely unless somebody does it in an area where it's the Wild West, so to speak, like China maybe.
Why did the National Institutes of Health give the Wuhan lab $3.7 million to study this virus?
Who is in charge of that segment of CDC?
It wouldn't be Fauci, would it?
Yes.
Grouchy Fauci?
Uh-huh.
I'm not liking him so much.
He's a leftist. And to leftists, China is not bad.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing how they're trying to protect China and the World Health Organization after they caused this thing is really sick. Somebody said, I'm steaming tea tree oil and inhaling it. Is it good for me?
I haven't got a clue.
So, doctor, what you're saying is the earth is flat. Did I just hear you say that?
No, I said I have no idea what tea tree oil is and what it would do.
I'm trying to drag you into conspiracy, and it's harder than hell. All right.
You tried that last time we talked.
That's my modus operandi, man. You know I'm going to do it. You just wait for it. You know it's coming, but you don't know when or where, and I'll work it in there. All right.
Oh, we have such fun, don't we?
Well, we do. And what else can you do, man? Are you sheltering in place? Are you going to hide out until 2025? How are you handling
it? I have an 8:33 tea time tomorrow morning.
Okay, that don't sound
Next
like social.
Question.
That doesn't sound like social distancing.
I do not wear a mask in Costco.
You don't wear a mask in Costco?
Nope. I don't wear a mask in Walmart.
It seems like I got the 800 number. There's got to be a number to report to you, man.
Well, I will admit, my church, I do manage our live stream. I do our entire live stream from my home computer.
Oh, okay.
We do it completely distributed, and I do it through Zoom and Facebook Live.
So does this thing have anything to do with Chinese people eating bats?
There is an argument that you have the virus having mutated from one species to another, to another, to another. And I read a paper recently which kind of outlined a chain where this made sense. On the other side is a paper that said, we looked at the DNA and it's very clear that this segment here and that segment there were inserted, as in it was engineered. You know, they're looking at, and so you look at it and you go, I've got one person that says, yes, it bounced through there and it's a plausible theory. And somebody else said, no, it was engineered as a bioweapon. That's as far as I can go because that's what I've seen.
Okay. Scott Richardson asked this question. Said, doctor, can several credible doctors write a white paper alleging criminal allegations against Fauci and Burks for fabricating false information to the Department of Justice?
Okay. I'm not sure I understand your question. I think I'm hearing you say, based on what they've done, we create a, in essence, a charging document, charging them with fraud and hand it to the Department of Justice. Is that the kind of thing you're saying?
That's what that question reads like, yeah.
Okay. If that's what's going on, that work's already been done. It hasn't been handed to the DOJ. But, for example, when we looked at the original number of supposed deaths coming up, it was between 1 million and 2.5 million.
Right.
Well, it turns out that there was a study or a projection, I think it came out of King's College in London, where they had between 1 and 2.2 million. Mm-hmm. They used one set of methodologies, and they assumed all this lockdown stuff. And then you had the IHME study out of the University of Washington, which said 200,000. Well, they took the two and put them together. They used the two estimates had completely different methodologies. So it's scientific garbage to combine them. You have to make an assessment of what makes sense. And they didn't even use my favorite technique, swag technique.
Oh.
Scientific wild ass guess.
Isn't that the same as yelling fire in a crowded store?
Close. Basically, they picked a number out of their ass. That's
out of their
did.
Obama? All right. How about this question? Why don't they use stem cells to cure these diseases?
Stem cells have thought to be a great idea for a lot of different things. The problem you've got with stem cells is, let's suppose you're able to get them in. Ultimately, you're talking about getting a white cell reaction, but part of what's going on in the fatal forms of the disease is it appears that you're getting too much white cell reaction. And so that's where hydroxychloroquine works. It's used as to shut down some of the inflammatory response.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just doesn't make sense on its face that stem cells would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Since you obviously are a golf player, somebody sent in a, a golf question. It said, Doctor, how did you like Trump's remark about not chasing balls into the rough so he doesn't get deer ticks and stuff?
Trump is a germaphobe, and if he's playing up in New England, there may be a reason for that because Lyme disease is a problem up in that part of the country. Down here in Florida, you chase them in the rough and look out for the alligators.
Okay. Another question. It says, Doctor, do you see a second or third wave of this?
Absolutely. Going to be multiple waves. And it won't make any difference whatever, whether we're locked down or not. That lockdown, they want to say, well, we did all of these good things. We flattened the curve. Bull crap. Mm-hmm. They didn't flatten any curve. It's been out in the wild, and you didn't do squat. The only things that are useful in an infection is you lock up the sick people so they can't make more people sick, and you help the prevent the high-risk people from getting sick. That means elderly, already sick. That's, and of course, your workers in the hospitals. Nobody else needs to take any precaution other than the ordinary hand washing or occasional hand sanitizer. That's it. Particularly if they're outdoors, because there isn't distancing outdoors is garbage, because the UV sterilizes it so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, there was a counterpoint to that. Somebody said that in New Orleans and Florida, they have high humidity and sunlight, yet when they were partying down there, a lot of people got it.
Actually, they didn't. They were afraid you're going to have a massive outbreak from spring break in Daytona Beach. Mm-hmm. So they shut down spring break, and the kids went home, and there was no massive outbreak.
Hmm. So you're saying it's fake news.
That's fake news. But not only that, there's some other things to look at. First of all, Daytona, a lot of it's out on the beach, safest place in the world to be, even in a crowd, because of UV from the sun.
Hmm.
You're in a sterilizer constantly. And the other thing is the age group. How many deaths do we have in the entire country below the age of 25? 100, 200?
Wow.
Something like that. That's it.
Hmm.
We have, to my knowledge, 3 or 4 cases below the age of 15. You know, deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they don't get sick. It's just that they don't die. Mm-hmm. So you leave them out. You let them party. If they get sick, so what? It's herd immunity developing.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's likely New York will have the New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square?
Oh, now you're asking me to read Cuomo and Comrade de Blasio's mind.
Comrades. They are comrades. All right. As a, what do you think about a lot of people who had the virus before it was even diagnosed? Does this thing go back even last year?
The first cases in China were known to be in November. And we now know our first cases, which were originally thought to be in that nursing home in Seattle, actually Kirkland, Washington. It's a suburb of Seattle. By the way, that area is my home.
Oh, okay.
Originally.
Oh, okay.
I'm from just north of Seattle.
Yeah, okay.
At any rate, we thought that was it, and that was in March. It turns out we now know that there were some people who died from it in February in the U.S. and California. There are 3 or 4 cases that had delayed testing, and somebody said, well, maybe they did, and had some samples laying in the lab, so I sent them off, and by golly, they had the bug.
Mm.
And once again, that points out you cannot contain this bug. So your only hope is to protect the people at risk, healthcare workers, older sick people, and keep somebody who's sick from making other people sick. That's it. But that's standard.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe in the social tracing?
Oh, track and trace is very important. That's how the South Koreans have kept their economy wide open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've done track and trace.
So you get a call out of the blue and say, hey, doctor, you don't know this, but somebody had it that you played golf with. You go to your house for 2 weeks. You good with
no,
that?
No, I won't go to my house for 2 weeks. I'll go get tested. You come test me.
Oh, okay. And speaking of protesting, what do you think about these protests?
I think they are people who have been loyal citizens who finally said enough is enough. You want to keep me locked down, unable to feed my family for a year and a half until a vaccine comes out, if one comes out. Enough.
Well, back to my favorite governor, Wretched Gretchen, threatened to be vindictive and add some time to the whole state because there were some protesters. That's nothing to do with COVID right there. That has to do with her being in power, like you were saying earlier.
She's intoxicated with power. She's a petty tyrant.
All right. So here's the question then. Did the deep state run out of money for chemtrailing? People are saying they're not seeing chemtrails anymore, doctor.
What you're not seeing are contrails. Chemtrails are nonsense.
Oh,
and the reason is very simple. For there to be chemtrails,
okay,
you have to have tanks for the chemicals. Airplanes have to be as light as possible to carry passengers and so on. What you're not seeing is water vapor at high altitude that comes out of jet engines. When you burn fuel, you get carbon dioxide and water. And those contrails, that's condensation. That's water. It's not chemtrails. I'm sorry, I'm a pilot.
Okay, you just made a bunch of people mad with that one. I knew you were going to get controversial.
Hey, no. That's science.
Oh, science. Now, look, that's what they're saying. The science tells us this and science tells us that. The science that the government is using, I'm not agreeing with.
Okay. People like to say, well, we have a scientific consensus, global warming, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Science is a method. It is not a conclusion. Science is how you identify the likely truth of a proposition. You say, I think that gravity is constant, whether it's in a vacuum or in atmosphere. And so you test it by dropping something in the vacuum on this side and in the atmosphere here, and you look at the time it takes them to fall. You test it. If it's the same, they'll fall at the same rate. If it's not, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
You are testing it. You can falsify the premise. And science is the method of testing the premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an answer.
And see, that brings us to the quandary, because all the governors saying, we're going to open up, but we're going to follow the science. And I don't think the science is accurate on this issue.
They're using the word as a political cudgel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. They wouldn't know science if it bit
right,
them.
Right. It's a control mechanism. And what they're saying is, oh, you don't believe in science? Is that what it is? You believe in flat earth or chemtrails?
No, Lady Gretchen Whitmer. You are a power mad fool. You're not willing to look at the data.
Mm-hmm.
See, data is different from science. Data then allows you to test propositions.
Doctor, I saw a study came through that separated the blue states from the red states, estimated populations. You know where I'm going?
I think I know what you're doing. If you do it on a county level,
yeah,
it's very funny, because if you put a county level map of all the COVID-19 hotspots,
mm-hmm,
over a county level map of blue state, red, blue and red, almost all the COVID hotspots land on the Democrat stuff.
Wow, that's a conspiracy.
No, it's an observed fact.
So let me answer. I did ask another guest about this question here. Is there anything about this virus that you see, I guess I got to use the word supernatural, maybe directed, maybe, half the internet is filled with apocalyptic statements saying, this is it. You know, this is the pestilence talked about in the book of Revelation.
Okay. Having written two books involving the book, discussing the book of Revelation, I'm going to say no. I don't see that there. I do see the possibility of the government response leading to the final crisis. I said possibility. I refuse to make a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Because that ultimate step is where everyone decides for or against God. And God says, okay, you would not come to my grace. Will you run away from evil? And he puts his protective hand on his people. Evil is unleashed, and the bad folks won't run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can blow the whistle and go, whoosh, everybody out of the pool.
And that leads us to the second part, which is some claim that the vaccine is part of this mark of the beast situation, that if you may not be able to get a job. I mean, people are predicting that you won't be able to be employed or buy unless you've certified, had the vaccine shot.
I can see that that could happen, but don't put it as part of the mark of the beast stuff.
I did say.
If anybody who wants to know more about what I say, go to Amazon, look up Ted Noel. I have three books out there. A primer on the book of Daniel, a primer on the book of Revelation, and I Want to Be Left Behind.
You want to be left behind?
Absolutely. So do you.
Because why do I want to be left behind?
Because the ones who are left are the ones who survive.
Mm.
Go read. That's all taken out of Matthew 24. Mm. And you take that little pericope in verses 36 through 45 and chart it out. The ones who are taken are the ones who are killed in the flood.
If I get one more in my Facebook feed, I told you so. I predicted this whole thing 10 years ago. I might have to delete them. In fact, I put a thing in there that said if this isn't the apocalypse, because so many people are claiming that it is. If it is not, then they owe me an apology.
There's a term for that. It's called newspaper exegesis.
Ooh, explain.
Well, it's using the New York Times or USA Today to interpret Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, Scripture takes care of itself. So when you look at all the symbols in Revelation, almost all of them come out of the Old Testament. And if you go to their original sources, they help you explain what's actually going on.
Well, Doctor, we're getting near the end of the broadcast here. You got a lot of material, you got websites and various things. Go over them real quick for people to see how they can read more of your material.
Okay, just look for Dr. Ted on Twitter, Facebook, Parlay, and MeWe, okay, and YouTube, okay? I have stuff on all of those. I no longer have a website. It was too much work to keep it up. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to Amazon, the three books are I Want to Be Left Behind, a primer on the book of Daniel, and a primer on the book of Revelation. And that way you will get the background and the material that explains what I said tonight.
Well, Doctor, it's been a lot of fun talking about the end of the world with you.
We could do more. Oh, I forgot to mention I write for NOQ Report pretty much 2-3 times a week.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Can we have you on again sometime?
Absolutely. It's always fun.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We won't bore you if you come on this show. Doctor.
That is true.
I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I am thrilled to have been here. It was a minor but very pleasant surprise when I saw your note that said, could you come join us?
Hey,
and you noticed how long it took me to answer.
Right away, and I appreciated that.
All right.
All right. You stay safe.